I want to move on to the European Affairs meeting in the Oireachtas today. Louise, who did they hear from? What was the subject?
So this actually followed on from a kind of a similar meeting that Tánaiste Micheál Martin, who's also the Defence Minister, attended yesterday, and kind of similar lines of discussion. But today the committee heard from Kenneth McDonagh, who is a DCE from the DCU School of Law and Government, as well as Ben Tonra, who's in UCD. He's in the Politics and International Relations disciplinary there. And I guess what they were really talking about was neutrality and security and exactly what that means. And I guess they were kind of looking at Ireland in the kind of wider, not only the EU context, but also the global context. So they were saying that, I think we all know this, there are significant gaps in Ireland's capability to defend itself on a number of fronts. And in an EU setting, what does that mean? Does it mean, as Kenneth McDonagh was saying, does it mean greater interaction with PESCO? Does it mean, you know, more partnerships with NATO? What does our neutrality mean? Ben Tonra was actually making some really interesting points. He was saying that everything that the EU came to know, everything that we came to expect, has been completely and utterly upended over the last couple of years, be that Russians' brutality on Ukraine, be it their complete and utter disregard for international treaties and policies. But he was also talking about, well, what would a Donald Trump presidency mean for Ireland in the context of our security and our neutrality and all these other kind of things? What would Donald Trump relationship with NATO be like if he got back in? So kind of a really wide ranging conversation, but really did come back to, how can Ireland defend itself? Can Ireland defend itself? What are the gaps there? And what is actually our neutrality? Are we neutral at all?
All right. You mentioned Professor Ben Tonra there from the UCD School of Politics and International Relations. We're going to hear from him in a moment, but just on the business of the committee, there's a paper due from the Department of Foreign Affairs that the committee heard about. What's supposed to be in it? It's supposed to provide definition on something, is it?
Yeah, so this was brought up by Jerry Crockwell, and this, again, something that Tánaiste referenced yesterday when he was speaking about neutrality and defence and security. And basically what this paper is supposed to look at is, what does neutrality mean? So Senator Crockwell said to Ben Tonra, well, what does neutrality mean? Is Ireland a neutral country? And he said, well, no, we haven't really been neutral since World War II, because we talk about Ireland being, you know, militarily neutral, but, and the line you hear all the time from the Taoiseach, from the Tánaiste, is we're militarily neutral, but we're not politically neutral. And Ben Tonra was like, that's no one's definition of neutrality except for Ireland. So does that really mean in the broader context?
Let's hear a clip of Professor Ben Tonra from the School of Politics and International Relations in UCD in front of that European Affairs Committee, this meeting this morning.
The government, and this is not this government, it's all Irish governments stretching back, have traditionally defined Irish traditional military neutrality as non-membership of the Security Alliance. I'm very sorry to say that is nobody else's definition of neutrality. Nobody. Because it's not the status of being neutral. Using that rubric, the People's Republic of China is neutral. It's not. For those who are very passionate about neutrality, they put a lot of other things on top of that. They talk about an anti-colonial policy, an anti-imperial policy, a pro-peace policy, a pro-development policy. But none of those things are about neutrality. In fact, they're the antithesis of neutrality, because you're about taking sides and deciding who are the bad guys and who are the good guys. That's not neutrality. So again, you have a dialogue of people shouting at each other about a definition which doesn't apply. I think what you're going to see from the Department of Foreign Affairs is something, a document that's going to center on non-membership of the Security Alliance, and then they're going to add all the bells and whistles in the world. It'll be like a Christmas tree. Our neutrality means that we're good people, and we provide development aid, and we're promoters of human rights, and we're in favour of gender rights, and we're in favour of peace, and we're in favour of peacemaking, and we're in favour, and we're in favour, and we're in favour. None of that has anything to do with neutrality. Bar one issue, take any one of those Christmas lights and I will find you a NATO member state who does it more and does it better, whether it's development or peacekeeping or human rights or gender rights or global justice or diplomacy or etc., etc., etc. We have convinced ourselves that Irish neutrality is a thing, but it's nobody else's thing, and it's not neutrality.
All right, Professor Ben Tonra from UCD School of Politics and International Relations. Fiona Loughlin, what's your definition of neutrality?
Well, it's certainly not what it is. I mean, comparing Ireland with China, where we see how they treat the Uyghur people and when we see how they treat those from Taiwan. My definition of neutrality is literally the fact that we are not that we don't operate within a military zone, that we are neutral politically. And I think that we have a very strong role in the world. I mean, when you say, and in Europe, because of that, Sean Clancy today, I see, was made chair of European Peacekeeping Organization.
The EU really Military Committee, yeah.
Yeah, which really shows, I think, the level of respect that Ireland has in terms of that neutrality position that we hold. I think it's an important one, and I certainly would like to see us as a country keeping that. And that's Fianna Fáil's position as well.
All right, but in terms of, you know, it's been said by I think, the Taoiseach, your party leader, that Ireland is militarily neutral, it's not politically neutral. So how is that neutral in a way? Ireland is signalling that it belongs to one political side, but it won't enter a war. Is that where the line is drawn?
That is where the line is drawn, and it's basically saying while we support what's, you know, Ukraine against the war of aggression by Russia, and that we support the Ukrainians in very many different ways, that we will not use money to buy arms, we will not supply arms. And I think that's important, and I think it's the right position to hold, because at the end of the day, Europe was founded after the world wars in terms of trying to have a peace project and to look at ways through trade, through economics and through diplomacy that we would avoid war, that we would be able to bring people together. And that was one of the main reasons that Ireland joined the European Union. Now, we totally appreciate that many of our partners are not in that space, but I think it's something that we hold dearly.
Okay, I think just I suppose the documents on Irish foreign policy series produced by the Royal Irish Academy show that in the deliberations before we joined the European Union, Sean Lamass was more than happy to consider the possibility of giving up neutrality ultimately if that's what the requirement of the European Union was. But Martin Kenny, do you differ from Fiona Loughlin in your definition of neutrality?
Well, I suppose we're all looking at this debate, and you know nobody is afraid of debate and discussion, and we need to have that. A lot of people fear that it's going down the direction of, you know, taking away the triple lock, for instance, you know, taking us in a direction that a lot of people are not at all happy with. And the vast majority of Irish people have expressed ultimately on numerous occasions and in every survey that's done, you know, that they want to remain a neutral country. Now, what that's defined as is the question that's going to be discussed and worked out. But certainly, I think the general aspect of that is, and I remember, I think it was Archbishop Tutu said, you know, to remain neutral during the oppression is to stand on the side of the oppressor. And certainly we cannot be doing that. If there's oppression happening, if there's, you know, whether it's global injustice, whether it's what's happening in Ukraine or what's happening in Gaza, we have to take a strong stand on strong status on that. So we also have to work for peace. We also have to work for to try and ensure.
But to take that further, what Archbishop Tutu is talking about there, and what other people in international relations have framed as the duty to protect, calls for potentially intervention where human rights are being trampled, where there's a clearly weaker side in a conflict being trampled by a clearly stronger side. Do you draw the line on?
And
we're
certainly part of that weaker side from an Irish perspective, and everything we've seen in regard to the Irish Defence Forces and the Irish services are that we are very weak and that we need a lot more investment. We had the Golan Heights situation where Irish troops have been withdrawn from there because we weren't able to keep them there anymore. You know, and it wasn't Russia done that or it wasn't China done that. It was Ireland done that because we haven't had the investment in our defence forces. So, you know, we have to recognise all of that as well. But I think our status and our space in the United Nations and internationally as a country that works for peace and that is, if you like, a global position where we are an honest broker in respect of that is something we have to treasure. And I think if we go down a direction where we get rid of the triple lock, where we enter into more of these kind of war situations and supporting particular sides in conflicts like that, and where we're actually actively involved
we would
be getting into a situation where that honest broker side of it may be damaged.
But
I think
what
that's
you're
something
saying
we
is
should
that,
treasure.
That politically Ireland should take sides, but it should not enter into any situation
We should be very strong in our defence of human rights, in our defence of national sovereignty of other nations, but we should not get involved in conflict. And that's the position that the vast majority of Irish people, and in fairness, that the government and the programme for government signed up for too.
Okay, we'll flesh that out a bit more. Gino Kenny, what does neutrality mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, neutrality has been kind of the cornerstone of Ireland for the last, since the foundation of the state. And I would argue that, you know, neutrality in this country has been eroded, particularly around the use of Shannon Airport by American troops. Over a million American troops went through Shannon Airport during the Iraq War. And them troops were not going over to spread peace.
All right. So, in your definition, close that, access to Shannon Airport
completely,
to any foreign military?
Oh, completely. Absolutely, completely. America, in their invasion of Iraq in 2003, over a million people were killed in Iraq.
And in terms of the use of Irish troops, what does neutrality mean?
Well, obviously, peacekeeping is important. And Ireland has a very important role, particularly, say, in the Lebanon. And that's important. But it is clear that there is erosion of our neutrality, particularly in the rhetoric that the government have been using the last number of years. And the direction of the European Union around militarisation is very, very, very worrying. There's no doubt about that.
All right. But in terms of the triple lock that Martin Kenny mentioned, would you accept that there are other countries who are neutral, for whom the triple lock is not part of their foreign policy? Austria, which has a long history of in fact Ireland's UNDOF force in the Golan Heights replaced the Austrians. Yeah. That Austria has a long history, history in peacekeeping, and the triple lock doesn't apply to them.
No, but I think the triple lock gives a guarantee that, you know, it's either a UN mandate, the government, or the Dáil has the final say. And that's very, very important. I think, I mean, the Tánaiste has said that the triple lock is up for negotiation. And I think that's quite concerning.
All right. Fiona O'Loughlin, are you concerned by that, the removal of the triple lock?
I'm not, to be honest, because there have been times in the past where, because of the triple lock, Ireland wasn't able to participate in peacekeeping missions. And I feel that while we have the situation where there are countries like Russia and China that can veto, I don't think that's right. I certainly wouldn't want to be taking any orders from Russia or China. So I would feel it's been very clear that if the triple lock is removed, that we still would be very much aligned to UN policy. We just wouldn't be under the triple lock in terms of allowing the permanent security group have a veto in what we do.
All right, Martin Kenny, do you accept that there are cases where Ireland could support, for example, the African Union in peacekeeping missions?
I'm not sure. I'm not aware of any peacekeeping missions that Ireland didn't participate in because of China or Russia. I'm not aware of any of them. Perhaps Fiona has examples of that. I certainly am not aware of them. And, you know, and I don't foresee a position in the future where we would have an issue with that. We clearly work very closely with the United Nations and with governments from around the world in regard to conflict situations where peacekeeping is required. We always volunteer for that. We always put our armed forces forward for that. However, the problem is our armed forces are so under-resourced. The Tánaiste attended a conference yesterday where they stood in silence because of the situation in regard to the recruitment and retention and, you know, remuneration of armed force personnel. So, you know, we have an issue here to deal with at home before we start looking at all of that. But the triple lock has not inhibited us in the past and will not in the future.
Do you want to clarify, Fiona O'Loughlin, just about in terms of, are you talking about, what missions has Ireland not gone on as a result of
Veto? In 1999, Macedonia, in terms of peacekeeping in Macedonia. In 2022, there was a maritime alliance in terms of, and forgive me now because I'm paraphrasing, in terms of an Irish naval ship was looked for, and this was in relation to drugs, and Ireland wasn't given permission because of a veto in relation to it.
Was that a European mission or what?
It was... Okay. I think it was European. But and there was also a situation almost when Ireland went into Bosnia and Herzegovina, there was a threatened veto. Now, it didn't actually happen.
Oh, well, then, if it was Louise Byrne.
Well, I was actually just about to make the point that Fiona made, that when this went to Cabinet and we were discussing this with the Tánaiste spokespeople afterwards, we were looking for that exact information. When is the last time that this was actually vetoed. And I mean, we had to go back to 1999, and the argument there was, well, like, even the perceived threat of a veto might stop people going on a mission. And the question is that really good enough that we're talking about perceived vetoes and perceived threats, that this needs to be implemented? Now, I do think one thing that perhaps hasn't been spoken about in all of this is the ability of Ireland to act as part of emergency civil assistance teams. And we saw that recently in Sudan when there was trouble there and we were trying to get people out and only 12 Defence Force members could be deployed to that mission because that's all that the government could send without getting that UN mandate. So, I mean, there's questions about whether this removal of the triple lock would be useful there, but that's also very limited circumstances. Okay.
Gino Kenny, do the terms of the triple lock need to be looked at then? If you have a situation where the Army Ranger Wing can't be sent abroad in numbers greater than 12, even to provide personal security to Irish politicians.
I think it's a complete red herring. I mean, the triple lock is important to give people confidence that Ireland in the future will not be involved in any kind of military pact or some sort of military adventure that they could be actually pulled into.
Terms of the terms of the triple lock, should the number of 12 be looked at? So in the event where, say, Irish citizens needed to be evacuated, maybe NGO
but
workers...
But the triple lock has not been a block in relation to having an intervention. You know, that just, there's no evidence there at all, right? So the triple lock is important because it came from the Nice Treaty, as far as I'm correct. And it gave people confidence that, you know, the Dáil should have a final say in any sort of...
But it is a block in terms of the numbers that Ireland can send.
Yeah, and that's obviously the tonnage.
So should that be looked at in circumstances where there's an emergency where Irish people would need to be evacuated?
Well, I don't think it's a block, Colin. I don't think it's a block.
Well, if you look at that situation in Sudan, you had to rely on, I think it was French military assistance had to come in and help evacuate people. So, I think it was said at that time, the government was saying, you know, if the triple lock wasn't in place then, we could have actually gone in and we could have evacuated people a lot faster without the help of the French.
Martin Kenny, would you look at the terms of it? In terms of the number of 12?
I think in those circumstances where you're talking about evacuating foreign nationals from a country where they're trying, all the countries cooperate together for to do that, you know, and that's normally how it happens. The French obviously were taking French people out of there as well, and they were taking other nationalities out, and the same in all of these circumstances. What happens in those situations is other countries cooperate together, and that is apart from and separate from any other military alliance or anything else that's happening. It's about the safety of citizens, and that happens all the time. That is not something that you require either the triple lock or anything else to become part of. I think it's something that we work with our neighbours and with people that we have an alliance to do so.
But I suppose they might look at us and say, why don't you do it yourselves?
In a lot of cases, the reason we can't do it ourselves is because we haven't got the resources to do it ourselves. And that's the bigger issue more than anything else, is that we don't have the resources to do it ourselves. We don't have the equipment. We don't have the personnel. And in fairness, that's the main reason why it doesn't happen and why we need to rely on other countries.
Okay, we have texts in on this. We don't normally get as a huge number of texts. But anyway, here's an engaged listenership on this particular topic. If Russia ever landed on Irish soil, where would we be as a non-NATO member? I can't imagine myself and the postman operating Patriot missile systems. Oh, don't underestimate the postman. 3 years ago this week, we saw a cyber attack in the health service that emanated from Russia. We need global cooperation on cyber defence. How does neutrality defend us in the cyber age? Somebody else, Stephen from Coolock, saying there's no such thing as Irish neutrality. We're militarily non-aligned. We let America into our airports and deploy trips from Irish territory, but we won't arm them, so that's okay. And the triple lock was part of the Lisbon Treaty when we ballyragged into accepting that ridiculous treaty. China and Russia are not responsible for the poor pay of the Irish military. This is another Micheál Martin vanity project. This is a joke, says another texter. Just very briefly on the issue of cyber defence and that in terms of pooling resources with other countries. Martin Kenny, do you think that's a breach of our neutrality?
No, I don't think it's a breach of our neutrality. I think cyber defence is something that we have to take really seriously because we have such an amount of the big players actually based here in Ireland, and so much of the data stored here.
Right. Gino Kenny?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, obviously, the new wars of the 21st century, sometimes it won't be fought on the battlefield. It'll be actually fought on the kind of the technological advancement. The certain things that people always use. So, it's concerning. And obviously, there's there's things that we have to kind of be very aware of, in particular around cyber kind of attacks in relation to all our kind of the things that we use.
There's a big difference in a cyber attack and on, you know, launching missiles or, you know, an invading army. It's, you know, I think we have to make that distinction as well. While we understand that a cyber attack can have a terrible impact
on commerce and it can disable infrastructure and have all of that. Fiona O'Loughlin, do you think there should be greater cooperation on the like of cyber defence on a European level Ireland?
Yes, I do, but there
that,
is.
That fits with your definition of neutrality.
Yes, it does, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.